Hello, and welcome to Talk with Green Guy. And we're talking everything green. And I'm covering green and sustainability like nobody else. I'm your host. My name is Eric Moncrief, and I am the Green Guy. Welcome to WGST 640 AM and iHeartRadio. We are broadcasting from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, in the prestigious neighborhood and community known as Buckhead. This show is brought to you by the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, which is working to advance a more sustainable future for the environment, business, and society. The Ray C. Anderson Foundation is also the platinum sponsor of the Talk with Green Guy show. Go to RayCAndersonFoundation.org for more information. RayCAndersonFoundation.org. Also, Rabblebot. Rabblebot is your digital agency. They cover everything from video production to web design, social media management. Rabblebot tells your story one pixel at a time. Rabblebot handles my website, GreenGuyMedia.com. Go out to greenguymedia.com, check it out, follow me, listen to podcasts. I would also ask you to follow me on Twitter at GreenGuyATL. Really, really, really would appreciate the social media following. Thank you so much. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Talk with Green Guy show. I thank you if you've been following these shows, and I thank you if it is your first time tuning into the Talk with Green Guy show. My goal, my aim is to keep you informed and educated about what is going on in the sustainability community and give you the resources and information to live a healthy, sustainable, and green life. Sustainability is the ability to meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Well, today we have a very, very special edition of the Talk with Green Guy show. In studio with me today, I've got Executive Director of the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, John Lanier, who is going to co-host today and ride shotgun. And also I've got Executive Director Allie Kelly of the Ray, and they are here to share more about the life, legacy, and mission of Ray C. Anderson and the Ray C. Anderson Foundation. And so with this being Earth Day, or excuse me, Earth Week, and Earth Day being Friday, I can't think of a better way to close out this great, great Earth Day week than to have the Ray C. Anderson Foundation on and to talk about the world's greenest CEO. So with that, I'm going to let John kind of take the wheel here and guide the ship today. And we're going to get a really, really heavy dose of the foundation and all that's going on. And Allie's going to share a lot of great things. So this is going to be a great, great show all about Ray C. Anderson, all about the Ray C. Anderson Foundation. So with that, I want to introduce and bring to the Talk of Green Guy show my co-host, Executive Director, Mr. John Lanier of the Ray C. Anderson Foundation.
Thank you, Eric. It's good to be back. I enjoyed being with you in January and sharing a bit about the foundation, about Ray Anderson. This is an opportunity to dive even deeper into one of our significant initiatives, the Ray. We're excited to share more detail about that, to have Allie here in the studio. I've got to tell you, you're going to know this by the end of the show. She is one of the most engaging, committed, and passionate advocates for environmental sustainability that I've ever met. So we're thrilled to have her as a partner.
Awesome.
I want to tee it up a little bit, though. I want to share once more a little bit about Ray Anderson, the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, how we came to be, and then I'll let Allie talk about the Ray itself. So Ray Anderson, as many of our listeners probably know, but for those who don't, he was the founder of Interface.
Yes.
Interface is the world's largest carpet tile manufacturer. It's a publicly traded company. It has manufacturing all across the globe. Ray built that company. He made it a successful industrial enterprise. But it was in 1994 that he had what he called his spear in the chest moment. He read a book, The Ecology of Commerce, which charged business and industry as the sector responsible for the greatest environmental harm and degradation in our world. but it also charged that sector, business and industry, as the only sector large enough, well enough organized and capitalized to lead us out of our challenges. And so for the last 17 years of Ray's life, from 1994 until his passing in August of 2011, he tried to make his company as environmentally sustainable as possible. And he proved that when done right, sustainability can be good for business, good for the bottom line. They made better products. They had more loyal workforces. They drove their waste down, their raw material usage down, saving money that way. Mm. They had customers who knew that they were paying for more than just a high-quality piece of carpet tile. When he passed away in August of 2011, Ray, my grandfather, left the majority of his estate to the Ray C. Anderson Foundation. Mm-hmm. We are a private family foundation. My mother and my aunt were the original trustees. We also have now my father and my uncle as trustees of the foundation, and I work with them to try and carry Ray's legacy forward. Early on in that journey, our advisory board, a group of individuals who knew Ray, loved Ray, and were committed to his vision, we brought them together, and our advisory board said, make sure you have a deep impact in a few ways. Don't spread your charitable dollars too thin. Find the things that would be most effective at carrying Ray's legacy forward and focus on those. And so in the summer of 2014, the very beginnings of one of those initiatives came to be, and that is what we now call the Ray. And at that, I'm going to turn it over to Allie to share with our audience the real origin story of this project.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So in April of 2014, Georgia's Governor Nathan Deal and the state legislature named a section of Interstate 85 in West Georgia. They named it the Ray C. Anderson Memorial Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And that stretch of Memorial Highway connects the cities of West Point, which is Exit 2, with LaGrange at Exit 18. And at the time of the naming of that highway 2 years ago, Ray's daughter, Harriet, John's aunt, was celebrating and thinking about that Memorial Highway with her husband, Phil. And later she called me up and gave me the news, and I said, Harriet, that is amazing. Congratulations. I know that y'all must be so excited and so happy that the state has honored your dad's legacy in such an important way. And she said, I don't know how Daddy would feel about his name being on a dirty highway.
Wow. Wow.
Do you think we can clean it up? Do you think we can make it better?
Sure.
And that is the birthday, the starting point, the original question that Harriet asked, which has given birth to the Ray.
Awesome.
It's an origin story that I think is very fitting. And it's very fitting because Ray, having been born in West Point, Georgia, right around Exit 2, having grown up there, having gone off to Georgia Tech, but then come back to LaGrange and founding his company there, it's the right place for this Memorial Highway to be. It's also the right place for us to dream big about changing transportation and the transportation system broadly, because there are a lot of important partners and important potential and actual stakeholders in this initiative that are right there. So I'll let Allie talk a little bit about the partners and the stakeholders that we've brought on so far.
Yeah, this stretch of highway hosts the only manufacturing in North America that Kia Motors operates. So Kia is manufacturing cars on the Ray, nowhere else in the United States but in West Point. Caterpillar has 7 global divisions, and one of those global divisions, which is Forest Products, is located on the Ray. Also, Interface has 2 manufacturing facilities and some corporate offices on the Ray. And Kimberly-Clark is manufacturing on the Ray. They make personal care products, they call their non-wovens division, is on the Ray. And Walmart and Coca-Cola have distribution facilities on the Ray. This is a logistics corridor. Some people might say that it's exurban or rural, but the reality is that the Ray is very busy. The Ray is anything other than rural.
Awesome. All right, folks, we need to take a break there. Fascinating conversation this morning with Executive Director John Lanier of the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, Executive Director Allie Kelly of the Ray. This is Eric Moncrief, Talk with Green Guy Show, WGST 640 AM and iHeartRadio. We'll be right back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. Eric Moncrief, Talk with Green Guy Show, WGST 640 AM and iHeartRadio. In studio today with my co-host, John Lanier of the Ray C. Anderson Foundation and Executive Director Allie Kelly of the Ray. Before we left on break, Allie was sharing with us so many great things about the Ray, the stretch of highway on 85 here in Georgia. But I wanted to come back to John real fast and just ask a question, because you know Ray C. Anderson was named by Forbes as the world's greenest CEO. How did he get that title, John?
I think it comes down to the fact that his commitment to sustainability, to making Interface as sustainable, as responsible of a company as he possibly could, was something that went down to his very core. You know, when he had that epiphany in 1994, when he realized his company had to be different, what he could have done is gone and hired a person or a few people, a team of people, and said, this is important for us to do. Go make it happen. Check in with me every now and again. I want to know how the progress is going, and it'll be great to see what you come up with.
Right.
He could have done that, and that would have been fine. It would have been better than what Interface had done up to that point.
Right.
That's not what Ray did. Ray instead set out to be the change agent. He wanted to be the person at Interface that convinced every single one of the people who worked for him, who worked with him, to join him in this journey. Ray knew that it was going to take that culture change to allow Interface to be as successful as they eventually were. And he was successful in that regard. He changed the culture. And when he did that, two things happened. One, Interface all of a sudden had its entire workforce ready to find ways to innovate, to make their carpet better. Things that Ray could never have thought of, maybe because he wasn't down on the factory floor like the workers were on a daily basis, or this engineer over here might have seen something that Ray couldn't have. That's where the innovation came from.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that it did is it allowed Ray to go beyond just Interface, to try and be a change agent for industry on the whole. For a period there in the mid-2000s, Ray was speaking about 200 times a year,
right,
to share the Interface story and the message. So he became very well known. The
right.
Interface story became very well known, and I think it's the scale of change that he helped to bring about that really earned him that title, Greenest CEO.
Right, yeah. He was talking sustainability when people were asking, what's that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so let's go back to Allie. Allie, before we went on break, you were sharing with us the list of businesses that are located throughout the corridor known as the Ray. You know, what are those businesses? Are they committed to sustainability?
They are, and they're actually committed to the Ray as well. When Harriet and I and the foundation first started thinking about what we could do to make a difference on the highway, to make it better so that it was better at reflecting Ray's values and Ray's legacy. We cast about, panicked, trying to figure out what the way forward looked like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is there such a thing as a sustainable highway? Well, you know, who would be working on that? Who would tell us how highways can be better, how they can be better at saving human life, how they can be better at saving animal life, how they can be better integrated into the environment and the ecology. And no one has ever asked this question before. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a wholly unique and original idea. There's a lot of innovation going on around the world. Innovation, I mean, everything from road paint to billboards.
Wow.
Are being innovated in pockets around the world. You know, Peru, the Netherlands, France. But no one has provided the argument for why we should take highways into the next century, why we should do a better job of incorporating technology into our road system. We're still building the same road 50 years after, you know, we started building highways in the 1960s. We're still building the same road.
Wow.
And a lot of people will know that, well, that's the definition of insanity, to do the same thing over and over again without innovating.
True.
So I got to give a shout out to Interface, because when we found nothing, when we found no answers to the question, what if, Interface and the Racy Anderson Foundation partnered to provide support for Georgia Tech to start researching the answer to this question. So Interface helped to provide the, you know, initial research, that baseline research that got us going. And then Kia stepped up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
In the very first year, Kia invested a significant amount of money to provide an electric vehicle charging station for West Point on the Ray. And that may sound pretty average, pretty run-of-the-mill for today. When you're living in Atlanta, you're living around a lot of Teslas and Leafs, and you know,
right.
You've got EV charging stations in the mall parking lot. But the reality in the rest of the state outside of Atlanta is that you don't have EV charging infrastructure.
Yes.
To help you get from one point to another around the state. And this is a perfect example. EV drivers could not get from Alabama to Georgia or Georgia to Alabama on 85 without that EV charging station. And Kia provided the infrastructure that opened up that corridor to EV drivers. And they also provided a solar array that provides green power for that EV charging station. So we're not using coal-fired power to provide the energy for EV drivers on 85. We have 12 solar panels that are providing the power. And when the power is not being utilized at the EV charging station, it goes back on the grid and helps to provide even more robust green energy on our grid in Georgia.
I think it makes a statement, too, because the people who are driving into Georgia from Alabama, who decide for whatever reason to stop at the Welcome Center,
right,
they're going to see not just solar panels, but it's a solar tree. It's beautiful. There's almost an artwork component to it as well. And so for someone who doesn't know that it's there, they might see that and think, what is this? Maybe they'll go learn something. If they do know what it is, maybe they're going to think, hey, look at Georgia.
Yeah.
Look at what this state's doing. It shows that Georgia can and should be a state committed to solar energy.
And then our other partner on the corridor, which is not a corporation, but which is very well known, is the Georgia Department of Transportation. This is their highway. You know, this is an interstate. So this is the federal highway system, and the state's DOT is the owner and the manager of this corridor. But they are close partners, and they have thrown skin in the game as well. So
great.
This year, GDOT is planting bioswales, which are fields of native grasses that grow high along the interstate and help to slow down floodwaters coming off of the interstate, and also help to filter the pollution coming off of the interstate, the surface of the highway. And they're planting 5 acres this year alone. It's the first bioswales in the state. And to top it off, they've agreed not to mow them except for once a year.
Awesome. All right, folks, we need to take a break from this conversation. And, wow, a lot of great information here about the Ray Highway and Racy Anderson. This is Eric Moncrief, Talk with Green Guys Show, WGST. Stay with me. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Eric Moncrief, Talk with Green Guys Show, WGST 640 AM and iHeartRadio. It's special edition today, talking about Ray C. Anderson and the Ray C. Anderson Foundation. Wow, what a great conversation we were having with Allie Kelly before we went on break. She was sharing with us the commitment of the businesses that stretch along the corridor of the Ray, and how GDOT is all involved and everything that's going on down there, which is great. Allie, it sounds like, also the fact that there's a EV charging station down there that, you know, people that drive electric vehicles have to be strategic in, you know, where they get power from. So this is great. But, Allie, it sounds like, you know, this is a really, really technology-based area. So share with us, you know, what other kind of technologies are down there that people can take advantage of?
Sure. Well, here's what's on our radar screen, the coolest of the cool. France just invested in 650 miles of solar panels in the roadway itself.
Wow.
And you actually don't have to take the existing road up in order to install this product, which is called Wattway. This is actually rollable solar panels that go over the existing road. So when there's not a car momentarily over a piece of highway, you can generate electricity on that road. And you can use that electricity to offset the demand going on alongside the road, you know, the lighting or the signaling, or you can just direct it back to the grid. So wow. That's called Wattway, and France is installing 650 miles of that to test it.
Okay.
Which is no joke.
Right.
This is not a one-mile test
this
trip.
This is awesome. So apparently if this goes well, it's going to be coming to the Ray.
That's right. We would love to test it tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. That's something special. Okay.
Also, you know, President Obama's Clean Power Plan continues to move through the regulatory approval process. So we're all preparing for a massive amount of waste CO2, which will begin to be captured out of industrial smokestacks, including coal-fired power plants, which, you know, cue the applause. We need to be capturing stationary sources of CO2. Why? Because too much CO2 in our atmosphere is causing the planet to warm, and that's affecting weather and public health and all other host of other important things. So what do you do with the waste? This is a Ray Anderson question. Mm-hmm. How can you turn that waste to gold? Because we're going to have a lot of waste CO2 as a result of the Clean Power Plan and as a result of trying to clean up industry. Well, there's a company called Blue Planet, and they take CO2 straight out of the smokestack, and they turn it into rock. They turn it into limestone. Well, what does that mean? That means that we don't have to mine rock out of the ground. And mining itself creates CO2 emissions. So you get a double whammy. You get to remove the CO2 out of the smokestack, which prevents it from going into the atmosphere. And by turning it into something useful, a raw material, which is limestone, well, that means that you don't have to mine it out of the ground, which reduces and eliminates those CO2 emissions as well. And then we'll keep playing that out. What can you do with that rock? Mm-hmm. Well, you can put it into the ground. You can put it into asphalt, because aggregate is the primary component in our roads.
Right.
So you can put it into asphalt, and then Blue Planet goes a step farther. They actually take the limestone and they turn it into concrete. So you can use waste CO2 and you can build your world out of it. You can build streets, you can build sidewalks, you can build buildings out of CO2, which currently is harming the planet. And the last thing I'll say about Blue Planet's carbon concrete, which is maybe the best news of all, is that this provides a way for us to permanently or at least semi-permanently sequester CO2 without having to inject that gas under high pressure into the Earth's core, which is about the only realistic solution for sequestering CO2 that we have right now. This provides an alternative. We can actually do something productive using a raw material made out of a waste product that today is driving climate change.
Wow.
That's a success story that you just can't make it up. I mean, these are gifts that technology is bringing to us in the road construction world, but just these are gifts for the planet.
Allie's actually brought to mind two thoughts that will maybe put an exclamation point on the end of that point that she made. One is a staggering statistic. The production of concrete globally is responsible for, I believe, 6 to 8% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Mm. Concrete is a huge deal. If we can do it better, we can make a real impact.
Right.
And when she mentions that when we're currently capturing CO2, all that we really can do with it is stick it in a hole in the ground. Well, oftentimes the hole that we're sticking it into is an oil field. And that CO2 actually has value to those who are trying to get at that oil, because by sequestering CO2 down, it can push more oil up that otherwise couldn't be captured. So yes, it's good to capture CO2. It's good to sequester it. But if we're using that CO2 to get more oil that will then eventually be burned, the benefit of sequestering the CO2 in the ground gets dramatically reduced.
Wow, this is amazing technology that you guys are sharing with us today.
And here's another one for y'all to think about.
Yeah.
In the UK right now, they're testing the charging of electric vehicles in a lane on the highway. So this is wireless charging of electric vehicles while they drive in a dedicated charging lane. This is happening right now in the UK. Also, in the Netherlands, they've made sound barrier walls out of solar panels that are translucent so you don't disturb the view. And you can get them in different colors so you can actually have what looks like stained glass, beautiful, along the highway, generating green power, being able to see the tree line on the other side. And all of these things are possible right now for the United States so that we don't have to look at corrugated metal along the highways, which is what we currently use to build sound barriers.
Mm-hmm.
The innovations that have evolved and are evolving around the world right now are dazzling. In Peru, let's talk about the one of the onerous aspects of highway transportation that we've been fighting periodically here in Georgia, which are, you know, billboards. Green groups have an ongoing tug of war with the billboard industry. In Peru, researchers have actually taken billboards and figured out how to use those structures to absorb water out of humid atmospheres, filter the water within the billboard, and provide a new water source at the bottom of the billboard for people who don't have clean running water. And they've also used billboards to clean airborne bacteria out of the air. So when you deploy these billboards in a city, they work for a 5-block radius, and they remove over 95% of airborne bacteria out of the air using a billboard structure. This is, you know, really rethinking highway infrastructure and providing some really useful activities that improve the quality of life in communities without having to assault the structure of the highway system in the first step. You know, maybe we get to a point because of autonomous vehicles and because of transportation technology where one day we can actually pull the roads up. Maybe one day we can pull the highway up and all the billboards alongside it. But for now, we can start to do so much more. We can leverage that infrastructure for good.
This is just fascinating news, what you guys are sharing with us today. Wow. Talk with Green Guy Show, WGST 640 AM and iHeartRadio. This is Eric Moncrief and John C. Lanier and Allie Kelly. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we are back. Eric Moncrief, Talk with Green Guy Show. Man, what a great conversation we are having with Allie Kelly and John Lanier, talking about Ray C. Anderson, his legacy, the foundation, all the great technology that's going on around the world to make our world more sustainable. All right, folks, before we get back to John and Allie, talking about, Ray, I've got a couple of announcements, and then we're going to get back into this conversation. But my good friends, Richard Hansen, Georgia Water Tanks, are having a dinner on Tuesday night. The American Association of Plumbing Engineers are going to be talking about gray water reuse. This meeting is for design professionals and contractors. Tuesday night, April 26th, 6 to 8:30, Villa Christina Restaurant, 4000 Summit Boulevard in Atlanta, 30319. And then my other good friend, Steve Williams, the water aficionado, the American Rainwater and Catchment Association, is sponsoring a garden lifestyle, or sponsoring the garden lifestyle expert, Carmen Johnston, at the Home Depot at 650 Ponce. This is going to be Saturday from 10 till 2 p.m., Saturday the 30th, the Midtown Home Depot. Go there, hear garden advice and plant care from industry expert Carmen Johnston. All right, I want to get back to our conversation, and John, you had some points to make about what Allie was sharing with us.
Yeah, I think before the break, what stood out to me is that there are lots of amazing technologies that currently exist all around the world that can make our transportation system better, but there's no place where they all come together, mm-hmm. and that's really what the Ray is about, is gathering them all in and helping to be a proving ground for the world as to what's possible when you think holistically.
Awesome.
I think we could probably talk for a whole nother hour about what's possible, but I want Allie to share a bit with our audience about what we expect to have happen here in the short term on the Ray.
Right.
Sure. Well, so we've talked about a lot of things. I want to remind folks that technology is not just equipment. Mother Nature provides some pretty amazing and efficient technology. And so the bioswales that Georgia DOT is installing will be going in alongside the Ray in September. Mm. In addition to that, we will be installing more equipment at the West Point Visitor Center, which is where the solar array and the EV charging station is currently located. We call that our PV for EV. But we'll be installing a rollover tire pressure monitoring system and air compressors. And you may be scratching your head and saying, well, that's not really technology, and why would you do that anyway? Well, first of all, low tire pressure is a leading indicator for safety, for danger on the roads. So if you're driving on low tire pressure, then you are more likely to hydroplane. You're more likely to not have responsive braking, which you may need. And in addition to that, when you have low tire pressure, your fuel economy is greatly reduced. And when you have low fuel economy, when you're burning more gas than you need to, that means that your CO2 emissions from your car are higher than they need to be. And one of the things that we're trying to do on the Ray is to go to zero. We're trying to make zero cool again.
Yes.
So zero CO2.
Yes.
Zero deaths, zero waste,
yes.
Zero trash. We want to be restorative on this highway, not just clean, but we want to be producing good things for the economy, good things for the communities, good things for the environment. So rollover tire pressure monitor at the visitor center, which, you know, about 120,000 people stop by the visitor center every month. We've got 11.5 million travelers on the Ray every year. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the easy ways, in addition to supporting the transition of the auto fleet from combustion to electric vehicles, which we're doing with our PV for EV. The next easiest, simple, most cost-effective thing we can do to reduce CO2 is to make sure that tire pressure is on point. Also, I think we're going to have solar on the highway in the next year or two. And I think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be megawatts of solar on the Ray, which will be the first in Georgia. We'll be the sixth or seventh state to do that nationally. Mm-hmm. Oregon led. Within the last 10 years, Oregon debuted their solar highway program. And I think that the Ray, working with GDOT, working with the Public Service Commission, working with our utilities, will deploy some solar generating capacity alongside the highway. Also, I think we'll start monitoring air pollution and water pollution along the Ray. Right now, there's no data collection at all along the Ray. And then I just want to recognize the city of Atlanta. They've announced free tire recycling during the month of May. And that is because mosquitoes breed in tire dumps, and mosquitoes carry a lot of viruses, including what we believe to be Zika, which has been wreaking a lot of havoc in Brazil and in South and Central America. So the city of Atlanta is being proactive on Zika by offering free scrap tire recycling. And why do we care about that at the Ray? Because you can use scrap tires in asphalt. Actually, scrap tires make for really good asphalt material. Asphalt made out of tires lasts longer than traditional asphalt. And if we used scrap tires, just 5% of the total material was scrap tires in every single one of GDOT's projects, we would have zero scrap tire dumps in the state. We would get rid of all of the scrap tire dumps in the state every year if we just used 5% of our paving material in all of our projects from scrap tires. So I think that on the Ray we'll have scrap tires, and I think we'll have carbon concrete. I think we're going to be able here in Georgia to be one of the first states to demonstrate and to highlight Blue Planet's product by getting some carbon, some CO2 rock, and some CO2 concrete on the Ray. And all of these things, I think, reflect the values and the principles and the legacy that Ray Anderson built in his career. Alongside Interface, he built an ethic, a corporate ethic. And I think that we are staying true to that ethic and staying true to his tenacious business principles of finding the smarter way to use waste for good. Waste is raw material. Waste is energy. And we're really proud of what we're building on the Ray alongside Interface and the Ray C. Anderson Foundation and Kia and our friends at GDOT.
Awesome.
So, Eric,
wow.
Eric, we'll be back to share more
about this. What? I was going to say, John, with the last minute I've got for you, can you sum up, what we've heard today? And please hurry back to share more of what's going on. I mean, I'm sitting here astounded by what I've heard of what's going on. But please, go ahead.
Absolutely. To me, this project carries Ray's legacy forward for the reasons that Ali just shared. But it is asking the question, what if? Ray said, what if Interface tried to be better?
Right.
What would happen? What would it look like? We're saying the same thing about transportation, and Ali is leading the charge in making it a reality. Mm-hmm. And something we encourage people to follow along with this. You can certainly go to the Ray C. Anderson Foundation website, RayCAndersonFoundation.org. We'll be talking a lot about this initiative, but even more directly, the Ray, go to theray.org and follow along and see how this becomes a reality.
Wow.
Hashtag ride the Ray.
There you go. All right, folks. Wow, what a great show today. Thank you so much, John Lanier, and thank you so much, Ali Kelly, for coming in here and sharing with us Ray C. Anderson, his foundation, the mission of the Ray. And I mean, we got much, much more to share. And John will be back. Ali will be back. Great show, folks. This show was brought to you by the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, our platinum sponsor, which is working to advance a more sustainable future for the environment, business, and society. Remember, every Sunday, tune in right here at 9 a.m. WGST. Visit me at greengodmedia.com. Be the change you want to see in the world. Make today your best day. Think and live green. Talk to you next week, Greenheads. This is Eric Moncrief, the Green Guy. Have a blessed week.